This is the third canto, seventh chapter, and Krishna, Krishna. I actually realize I have to get the verse direct so I can see it. Okay, books, Bhagavatam. Status quo. Okay. Okay. What is the number of that one up there? Because it doesn't. I was given like there were three verses, two without a purport, and then a two-sentence purport. So I was thinking there was going to be a book here, so I missed the boat here. Okay, so I think it is trying to figure out what it is. Well, no, I just need to get the, what is that verse up there? Okay, I found it. It's 23. Sorry for that. Okay, so I guess this is a verse. We're chanting, no purport, second verse 24, no purport. And then text 25, there are two little purports. And that's the verse that we'll be focusing on somewhat. So text 23, word by word in translation. Yasmin, in which? Dasya vidaha. Ten kinds of pranha, air of life, sa, with, indriya, senses, artha, interest, indriya, of the senses, trivrit, three kinds of life, vigor, tvaya, by you, irrit, taha, explained, yata, where from, varnha, four specific divisions, tat vibhuti, process, prowess, vadasva, please describe, na, unto me. Yasmin dasa vita prana. Sendriya ten driyas trivrit. Twayarito yato varnas. Tadvibhutir vadasvana. Jasmin dasha vita prana. Sendriya tendriyas trivrit. Tvairito yata varnas. Tadvibhutir vadasvana. Jasmin dasha vita prana. Sandriyar tendriyas trivet. Triarito yato varnas. Yadvibhutir vadasvana.
Yasmin dasa vidha prana. Yasmin dasa vidha prana. Sendriya tendriya srivrit.
Ladies? Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O great Brahmana, you have told me that the gigantic Viratrup form and his senses, sense objects, and 10 kinds of life air exist with 3 kinds of life vigor. Now, if you will, kindly explain to me the different powers of the specific divisions. Text 24. No purport. Text 24. Yatra putrayascha potrayascha nap tribu not tribi sahago trasahi prasavichitrak tai takritaya asanyad bir yasanyabir idam tatvam. Translation. O my Lord, I think that the process manifest in forms of sons, grandsons, and family members has spread all over the universe in different varieties and species. Text 25. Prajapatinam sapatis chakopekan prajapatin sargamstaivanu sargamsta manumanvantaradipan. Translation. O learned Brahman, please describe how the leader of all the demigods, namely Prajapati Brahma, decided to establish the various Manus. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Jai Jai. It's hard to pay attention when the curtain's open because you just want to look at them. They're so beautiful. So, please describe the Manus also, and please describe the descendants of those Manus. Purport. The human race, our Manushya Sarad, descends from the Manus, sons and grandsons of the Prajapati Brahma. The descendants of Manu reside in all the different planets and rule all the universe. Can I repeat this purport? O learned Brahmana, please describe how the leader of all the demigods, namely Prajapati Brahma, decided to establish the various Manus, the heads of the ages. Please describe the Manus also. And please describe the descendants of those Manus. So a little bit of what's kind of come so far out of this chapter. So 2 parts to this little attempt today will be a little reflections on this chapter up to this point. And because Prajapati Brahma has been mentioned a little bit about Prajapati Brahman, who is our infinitely great, 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 and so on grandfather, you could say, the leader of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, a conditioned soul cannot speak the truth. It descends from the spiritual world. So first, the guru tells his disciple to speak. That is the order of the guru. And by the mercy of the guru, the disciple will realize. Prabhupada explained, the disciple has the adhikari, or the qualification to speak, because the guru has ordered him. I was initiated in January of 67 in San Francisco, maybe a day or two after Srila Prabhupada arrived. And there was four of us getting initiated. And we were brand new to everything. The senior devotees were a few minutes older than us, having been initiated a few months earlier. The first initiation was in 66 on Janmashtami. And then the second one was Radhastami. This was in New York City at 26 Second Avenue. And then comes the San Francisco, I will say heathens, because that's how the New York senior devotees are looking at us, you know. And after the initiation, which could be a class into itself, Srila Prabhupada said, now you go out and preach. We're like, what, you know? So I raised my hand, how do we do that? I mean, we were still looking at a little piece of paper with the mantra on it to get the words in the right order. And Prabhupada said, you just listen. You listen to what I speak, and then you repeat. So the orders of the guru, don't add, don't subtract. My departed guard brother, Gaurgovinda Swami, gave a nice way of explaining how this works. He explained that the water comes from the reservoir, and we're just a little pipe. And if one is connected to the reservoir, then the supply comes. But if the pipe says, I'm giving the water, that will be an offense. I'm just a mere pipe, and the water comes from the reservoir through me. It's not mine. So this mentality should be there. But if we think, oh, I'm a great speaker, then Dumba, pride, comes. And then everything is finished, crushed. The mercy is withdrawn. So preaching means kirtan. Quite often we're not picking up on that point. You know, we're thinking kirtan, bang, bang on the mridanga, cling, clang on the kartals, or the wampers, or, you know, all the things we use. But preaching means kirtan. And unless one has heard from a bona fide guru, what will he preach? He'll say, I have heard. You should say, I've heard from authorities, from my guru. Just like yesterday, there was a question about the statement being backed up, were the statements being backed up by some particular verse, chapter, etc. And the answer was he wasn't sure. But because the person being referred to was who he was, you know, it can be taken as authoritative. You know. But for ourselves, we should be able to back up Guru Sari Shastra, you know. Or if we say something that is maybe not, it should be aligned with, but maybe not exactly repeated, then you can say, I'm speaking this in my words, you know. So, whenever, this is a verse from the Bhagavatam, and it makes the case for the purity of the topic speaking. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. Of course, we can understand from that we should constantly be engaged. Shravanam kirtan, no anxiety, no fear, no enviousness. So the activities of the Lord in creating the cosmic manifestation are performed by the Lord, but through his multifarious energies. But this manifestation is bewildering to the living entities. So the Lord is the master of the energies, and the living entities are subjugated by them. So Vidura was asking various questions about transcendental activities. And in doing so, he wanted to clear the misconception that when the Lord descends on the earth in his incarnation, or appears as himself with all his potencies, that he's subjected to the influence of Maya, just like ordinary living entities. So that is a misconception of less intelligent or less learned people, and Vidura wanted to clear that up. Because this material world is the creation of the Lord's external energy. It's temporary, you know, manifested at certain intervals, maintained for some time and again dissolved, and then withdraws into his own energy. As described in the Bhagavad Gita, this, you know, 8:19, Bhutva Bhutva Pralayate. The creation of his internal potency, the spiritual world, is eternal and full of transcendental knowledge, opulence, energy, strength, beauties, and glory. And such manifestation of the Lord's potencies are eternal, and therefore they're termed as nirguna, free from all the tinges and the modes of material nature, even up to the mode of material goodness. So the inebriety of the material qualities is due to the difference between the material body and the spirit soul. And the conditioned Lord's activities are displayed through the modes of material nature. However, they're perverted in appearance. So the Lord's body, she's being very honest. So the Lord's body and the Lord himself are one and the same. So when the Lord's activities are displayed, they're non-different from the Lord in every respect. And the conclusion is that persons who consider the Lord's activities material are mistaken. So we have another verse to back this up from 9:4 in the Gita. The complete manifestation of the cosmic situation is an expansion of the Lord himself in his impersonal feature. All things are situated in him only, yet he is not in them. And that is the opulence of the Lord's attachment and detachment. He's attached to everything, and yet he is detached from it all. The living entities are being influenced by the Advidya potency. And this is confirmed in both the Vishnu Purana and the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And the living entity is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 7.5, that this Paraprakriti. And the Vishnu Purana, he's mentioned as Parashakti. He's part and parcel of the Supreme Lord as potency, but not the potent. So Vidura was asking what I call the questions of every man, every woman. Why are the living entities subjected to so many miseries and misfortunes in spite of the Lord's presence in their heart of the Supersoul? Have anybody here ever kind of considered this point? You know, the Lord's in everyone's heart, he's in my heart too, but all this stuff is coming down, you know? So he's asking these questions. The body is considered a fruitful tree, and the living entity and the Lord as Supersoul, in the classic example, are like two birds in the tree. The individual soul is tasting or eating the fruits of the tree, but the Supersoul, the Lord, is witnessing the activities of the other birds. So then the question again, how is it possible that one citizen is suffering at the hands of other citizens while the chief of the state is personally present. Oh. And then from another point of view, it's understood that the jiva living entity is qualitatively one with the Lord, and thus his knowledge in the pure state cannot be covered by nescience, especially in the presence of the Supreme Lord. So then, how then does the living entity become subjected to ignorance and covered by the influence of Maya? The Lord, the Father and protector of every living entity, is known as Bhutabrit, or the maintainer of the living entities. So then why should we, the living entities, be subjected to so many sufferings and misfortune? Now, this is a classic question, and it's being put forward by Vidura for a solution. And Prabhupada explains that such mental bewilderment takes place for some living entities, but not for everyone. And the reason is because if everyone were bewildered, there would be no possibility of a solution by higher personalities. So, something to consider. If everyone was bewildered, there would be no possibility of a solution. It would be the blind leading the blind, you know. Anyone who's a devotee of the Lord knows, to some extent, about the Lord, but through the process of devotional service, he is able to know everything by the grace of the Lord. Although a devotee may apparently express himself to be ignorant, actually he's full of knowledge in every intricate matter. And yesterday we were hearing about Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who himself described himself as illiterate. I mean, he may have had some tendencies. It was said that he could sign his own name, etc., some basic thing. But as far as reading complicated texts, Bhagavatam, CC, etc., he declared himself illiterate. But if anybody asked him a question, a philosophical question regarding the tattva of Krishna and the living entity, he would speak amazing truth. And that's because of his full engagement in devotional service, which even again, for us, we have kind of a set vision. What is devotional service? Well, it looks like this, it looks like that, you know. And if somebody does something that might appear a little outside the established understanding we have, there's some question in the mind, you know. I think our young people are confronted with this quite often because they have a lot of experience, many of them born within this movement, and they're seeing things from a broader perspective than those of us who started out somewhere later in life. And so when they express themselves, it's sometimes like, where are they going with this? But actually, they are trying to use what they have learned in Krishna consciousness and expand upon it. So the Lord is the master of the material energy, but the living entities in the conditioned state were controlled by that material energy. And that's the version in Bhagavad Gita. And even in the conditioned state, one is still an eternal servant of the Lord. Because the servitude under the spell of illusory Maya is also a manifestation of his eternal condition of service. So the service is there, but who are you going to serve? Who are you serving? But because the conditioned entity has rebelled against the service of the Lord, then we're put into the service of Maya. So still, the service is there, but in a perverted manner. So when we come to the point, like, I want to get out of this, then unless properly taught, the next desire is to become one with the Lord, another illusion. So it was a very nice verse describing what is the quivering quality of material existence. Like when there is a reflection of a tree in the water or the moon in the water, if the water is still, if it's placid, it will not, there will be no motion. But if there's maybe like a slight breeze or slight movement, then you see this quivering quality. this quivering quality of material existence. And that comes from the identification with matter, or from thinking oneself under the material influence of philosophical speculation to be God, or to be the controller. But this mistaken conclusion, or mistaken notion, can be eradicated by devotional service to the Lord and by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, so that pure knowledge quickly detaches us from the material conception. Pure knowledge means knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him. And so reviving one's normal condition of spiritual existence, even in this life, frees us from the material winds that causes one to quiver, you know. So only knowledge and devotional service can actually elevate us towards liberation, or the path, at least the path of liberation. And the development of knowledge for the purpose of knowing everything, like becoming a human Google, I know everything. So if you do that, you're developing knowledge just to know everything, and without rendering devotional service, it's considered so much fruitless labor, and one cannot get the desired result by such labor. Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. When and if one wants to acquire the mercy of the Lord, then he must associate with pure devotees, the sadhu sangha. And by such association, then one can, by degrees, release one from these quivering elements. So the Lord is the super soul residing in everyone's heart, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental, is the seer of all of our activities. And our activities must be so transcendentally situated that the Lord will be kind enough to look upon us favorably and engage us in his transcendental loving service. And then one's senses can be satisfied completely and no longer become troubled by the material attraction. Yeah. So there's two different methods for controlling the material senses, and they're recommended in the Vedic scriptures. One of them is jnana, the path of philosophical understanding of the Supreme, you know, Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And the other is the direct engagement in loving devotional service to the Lord. And of these two methods, the path of devotional service is recommended as the best, because you don't have to wait for the fruit of results of pious activities or for the process of knowledge to mature. And by practicing sadhana bhakti, one can gradually rise to the point of raga bhakti, and then by performing raga bhakti in loving transcendental service, then one can control even the powerful Lord. So we're experiencing this now through these beautiful prayers and of the Dhammadharastakam, the Tidrik, you know. So there is Mother Yasoda, whose love was so pure and so uncontaminated that she was able to capture the Lord, not by the ropes, but by the bonds of love. So people who aren't like animals are not on the level of a Paramahansa feel material pangs. So for them, inquiry about the Supreme Absolute Truth is necessary. The Sato Brahma Jigyasa. Now one should inquire about Brahman. And this inquiry is necessary for those who are in between the Paramahansa and the fools have forgotten. They've forgotten the questions of self-realization, and they're just living a life of sense gratification. So these people everyone needs to ask, what is the meaning of life? Who am I? What am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? What am I doing here? This inquiry is necessary. And the sufferings of the conditioned souls are actually superficial, and they don't have any intrinsic value, like in a dream. Earlier in the chapter, it gave a kind of dramatic example of having a head cut off, like having your head cut off. You know, but it's a dream. It's in a dream, and it's only a dream. There was never any truth to it. So the suffering of a conditioned soul are superficial. They don't have any value. And this statement is theoretically true, but it's really difficult for a common person or a neophyte on the transcendental path to realize it practically. There are so many things we can capture in our mind by the hearing, but we haven't descended into realization within the heart. So then, you know, it's like being saying, here's a pot of hot water. So you're like, okay, here's a pot of hot water. And then you stick your hand in it and you get burnt. You've understood this, what it means to be hot. You know. But by serving the lotus feet of great transcendentalists and constantly associating with them, one's able to give up this false notion that the soul suffers from material pangs. We do not. But because the suffering is there and we're attached to this body, we are thinking, I'm suffering, or all these other people are suffering. Oh, the poor Americans are suffering, because just look what happened over there. If you know, you know. The recommended path of liberation is to serve the Mahatmas, great souls, pure devotees, on the path to Vaikuntha, and always chant, always hear the glories of the Lord rather than talking about dry, philosophical, pointless philosophy. Prabhupada says profitless philosophy. And this was the system recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's been recommended by time immemorial, but in this age, especially recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if one has no assets of favorable austerity, because austerity is not such a popular takeaway nowadays. You know, it's like it was the first instruction to Lord Brahma, you know, some tapasya, some austerity, so we can understand this is rather important, but it's just something uncomfortable just even to think about. But if one takes shelter of a Mahatma who's engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, then one is sure to make progress on the progressive path back home, back to Godhead. So what is the end time here? Like, pardon? I'm deaf, so I'm not getting.
Half eight.
Oh, you mean 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Somebody should actually tell the people, like, you know, it's going on and totally out of sync with what I should be doing. Well, so sorry. Lord Brahma, our hero leading to the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. I wanted to say a few words, but anyway, bow my head at his lotus feet. I mean, he's just such an incredible personality, and his family lineage is our lineage. And when you think about some of those incredible characters, like the purest of the pure and the most degraded of the most degraded, all of them are under his umbrella. And then he has... He was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to generate living entities. And he sang the most beautiful prayers, the Brahma Samhita. Like during the Damodar Astakam prayers, because I don't have that by memory, sorry. So I'm looking up at the verses, and I'm like, I know I don't have it memorized, but this doesn't seem quite right. And it was the Brahma Samhita. Wait, that's the Brahma Samhita. You know, anyway, when the universe manifests again after being swallowed up, other jivatmas take the role of Brahma, and Vedic knowledge is not imparted by defective living entities. It was imparted into the heart of Lord Brahma, and Brahma disseminated this knowledge to his sons and disciples as he originally received it. So this is from the introduction of the 1972 Gita. And Srila Prabhupada allowed for the Brahma Samhita to be printed on one condition. Does anybody know what that condition is? So we had the Brahma Samhita that was translated by a spiritual master and commented upon. Actually, someone else translated, but he made comments. So Prabhupada said we could also print that, providing we did not change even one word. And we know Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had very high level language, a very high, just, you know, high level comprehension and realizations. And Prabhupada didn't want to add or subtract anything from his beautiful Brahma Samhita purports and translation. So now that it's nice and late, I do apologize. But anyway, the form of Krishna is visible in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. This was a statement of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And bhakti is a state of consciousness attained through bhakti as a practice. It's a discipline. So for this reason, Lord Krishna empowered Lord Brahma, and we are the reciprocants of that mercy. Hare Krishna. I don't know what to say because I know this right now. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So, you're all sitting there smiling at me, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I mean, are you laughing at me, or which I could understand? Or, what should I do? I'm pretty much a stickler for time, and like, you know, class starts at this time, ends at that time, so I'm really embarrassed that I blew it here. Could I quickly summarize the path of bhakti in 5 aphorisms? This is coming from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and the Brahma Samhita. So an aphorism, so you understand, it's a concise statement of principle and truth, and it's usually delivered in kind of a witty or clever manner, you know, like, these 5 points. This devotional discipline goes beyond conventional piety. That was what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta first told Srila Prabhupada, who argued with him, why, you know, he was saying, you go and preach in the West, and hey, what is this? We're under subjugation. This devotional discipline goes far beyond conventional piety. It necessitates constant endeavor for self-realization. In other words, you don't take a vacation, you don't kick back, constant endeavor. And it involves both turning away from worldliness and sense gratification, which is not something that is so attractive to most people in the material world. And by adhering to spiritual practices and behavior under the guidance of an authorized scripture, not just any old book, authorized scripture, which can include Bible, Quran, etc. But our authorized scriptures, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam, CC, etc., etc. And by such practice, the materialists assume purified of the tendency towards philosophical negation and comes to understanding the nature of positive transcendence. Can consider that positive transcendence. Yeah. So Lord Brahma ki jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai.